Welcome to Silence the Mind Cluck. I'm your host, Maria T. Finch, and I'm super glad that you're here. Get ready to quiet that mind and reap the rewards. Welcome, everyone. I'm Maria Finch. I'm an intuitive strategy guide, and I am thrilled to have Lori Seitz here with me today. Lori, welcome.
Thank you so much. I'm thrilled to be here.
Wahoo! All right. So to kick us off, please tell us a bit about you.
Yes. So I have a company called Zen Rabbit, and I'm on a mission to teach the world to be calm and grounded no matter what's going on around them.
So. That is such a good mission. And I love the name of your business.
Thank you.
That is awesome. All right. So tell us about a time in your life when your mind cluck was especially loud and annoying.
Yes. Pick one.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Well, pick whatever one. I know we all have multiples. So
yeah. Well, I will start with back in 2014, I had been running the first version of Zen Rabbit. It was Zen Rabbit Baking Company. And I had been making and marketing a product called the Gratitude Cookie that was based on a family recipe and marketing it as a way for businesses to say thank you to their clients and to people who sent them referrals.
Cool.
Yeah. So here I am making an all natural food product and shipping it all over the world. What could go wrong? So
Oh my gosh, wow.
It was a lot of learning. I ran that business for 11 years and I couldn't quite scale it the way I would have really liked to. And so after 11 years of beating my head against a wall, I said, all right, I'm done. Let me shut this down. And it was really difficult because my value, like who I was very attached to that business.
Understandably. I mean, I think that would be true for any entrepreneur.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, right. So my identity was as the builder of Zen Rabbit. Mm-hmm. In fact, part of the reason why my company is still called Zen Rabbit is because so many people associated me with that name.
Oh, yeah.
So that when I came back years later to build another business, I was actually going to name it something different. And I did for a few months until I realized that I still had such a strong association with the name. Like people wouldn't necessarily remember my name, but they remembered Zen Rabbit. Uh-huh. So I'm like, all right, well, I guess this will be Zen Rabbit 2.0. And at this point, we're on probably Zen Rabbit 3.0.
Okay.
Informally. But back to your question, yeah, shutting that business down was really difficult because in my mind, it was a failure.
Yeah, yeah.
And I was still defining failure as, you know, you suck. You're not good. Not as an experiment that didn't go the way you'd like it to.
Right. Right. Or as, I mean, you can define failure in so many ways. You can also say you figured out a way not to do something, you know, whatever that famous quote is. Like,
yeah.
Yeah. So what else was going on in your mind? Like what messages was your mind giving you in addition to you like, okay, this is a failure. Like what else were you facing?
Well, in the couple years before that, what I kept facing was if I just do this thing, like if I just do this direct mail campaign, if I just go to this trade show, if I just do this thing. And it was actually my friend Christine who said to me, this is like watching you in an abusive relationship. Cause I thought if I just do this one thing, you know, everything will work out. Money will come pouring in, whatever it was.
Yeah. Like
the big clients will show up. And so it was coming to that realization, like, yes, maybe eventually I could get there, but it's not happening right now. And so what are the opportunity costs that I'm missing by not doing something else? Mm-hmm. And, you know, so going back to what the mind cluck was, you're not good enough to make this work. Yeah. So I have a background in marketing. Here's where it really is.
Okay.
I'm a marketer and I can't even market my own business.
Oh yeah.
That's it.
Okay. Wow. That is a big piece of mind cluck. So what did you do to start to work through that, to silence that mind cluck, and then start to move on?
So the universe, as it does, comes along. And it, actually, at the same time, I'd already decided to shut that business down. But at the same time, my mom was diagnosed with an acute form of leukemia. Oh. And she passed away 6 weeks later. So that beginning part of the year, everything got focused on that. It became sort of a blessing that I was shutting the business down, because then it gave me time to go between Virginia and Florida and manage working with her when she was still, we thought she was still going to recover from that.
Uh-huh.
And then afterwards working through, all the estate stuff.
Yeah.
With being able to do that. My brother had a full-time job, so he wasn't able to help as much as I could, because now I was free and I had all this time. So back and forth. So that also gave me a lot of time to think as I was working through all the stuff, like, where are we donating all these clothes and 2,500 yards of fabric? Cause she was a quilter. Like, where's all this stuff going? And so working through all that a lot of the time by myself.
Uh-huh.
So just, it quickly snapped into what's important. Like, okay, yeah, this is a business.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not who you are. I mean, uh-huh. it still took several months of processing through, not attaching my identity to that business and now not having that identity. And
yeah.
At the same time, it focused very quickly what really matters in life.
Right. So I can see how, I mean, as awful as it is to lose your mom that way, it was. I mean, I see the gift in there of redirecting your focus so that you're not experiencing the loss of your business in the same way that you would have otherwise, right?
Yeah. Yeah, potentially. I mean, but then I got to mourn the loss of the business and my mom at the same time.
So. Yeah. Gosh. Yeah. Talk about a ton of loss, right? Mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah. Yeah. But that's also kind of the gift of, I didn't see it that way necessarily at the time, but of being able to ask myself the question, okay, do I want to live the next 20 years the same way I lived the last 20?
Mm-hmm.
And again, not that the last 20 were terrible.
Right.
Just a reevaluation time.
Right. And okay, so going into, what were the things that you did? Like, did you have routines, or what were the things that you established for yourself to help yourself work through all of this loss?
Mm.
Like both your mom and your business, because that is just a gigantic amount of loss at once.
Yeah. Interestingly, my mom had taken my brother and me to a meditation course when I was 10. It's now known as the Silva Method. And so I learned that at a young age, and then I didn't practice it for the next 40 years, at least not consistently. Like, uh-huh. I'd go back to it once in a while, and then I would skip a few years, and I was not consistent with meditation at all, even though I knew the benefits.
Uh-huh.
I just didn't do it. Uh-huh. So after my mom passed, I actually came back to meditation.
Oh,
and I started attempting to get back into using the Silva Method. What I ended up finding was, are you familiar with Vishen Lakhiani and Mind Valley?
I'm not.
Mind Valley? Oh, cool. No. Okay. So Mind Valley is a personal development company.
Okay.
And Vishen Lakhiani is the founder of Mind Valley.
Okay.
He has a meditation called the Six Phase Meditation. The original version was 20 minutes. He's got a 15-minute version now too, but it takes you through six phases in 20 minutes of meditation, starting with, I believe it starts with gratitude, and there's a piece in there of forgiveness, and then visualizing your perfect day and visualizing the help from your higher power or whatever you aspire, whatever you believe in, through these six phases. And so I started listening to that, and I got, and that I don't know, I liked it a lot. So I was consistent with it. Interestingly enough, when you go back, Vishen wrote a book called The Code of the Extraordinary Mind.
Okay.
Which is really a fabulous book. In there, he explains how he was introduced to meditation, and it turns out it was the Silva method.
Oh, wow. Oh, that's neat. That's like the universe, you know, connecting you guys.
Yeah. Yeah. Actually, and Mind Valley, actually, I don't know if they own it or what, but they market the, the Silva method now. It's underneath their umbrella.
Oh, that's so interesting. So when you say that you started to do this consistently, what does that mean? Was it every day? Was it multiple times a day? Like, what did you do?
Yeah. So it was typically once a day. I wasn't every day at that point, but once a day when I could get into it. Yeah. So pretty consistently every day.
And did you have any trouble getting into it? So was it something where you start doing this and you think, okay, I'm just listening to all the chatter in my mind. I can't really focus on this meditation, or were you able to lock in pretty easily?
One of the things about that six phase meditation is that he is constantly talking, which is part of the reason why I don't like it as much now, because I would like some more space now that I am more a consistent meditator now. Yeah. But at the time it was great because it kind of forced the chatter out.
Yeah.
As you're listening to him.
Right.
One of the benefits that I think being introduced to meditation at such a young age is that when I get into a good meditation, the music is right, the voice is right. And when I say right, everybody has their own form of what
that is.
Absolutely.
Yeah, absolutely.
So if, you know, people are listening and you want to get into meditation and you're listening to somebody whose voice just annoys you or doesn't draw you in, go find a different one, because there's nothing wrong with that. Like, experiment.
Right.
So I had already the ability to kind of lock into a meditation if the setting was right. I said, like the music, the voice, whatever it was, I can get in pretty quickly because of that early training.
Yeah, that's – well, so for people listening, if you have kids, get them started early.
One of the best gifts my mother could have ever given us, and she didn't even – I don't think she realized.
Yeah, right. Yeah, I think and especially like it depends on the community you're in and whether it would be socially acceptable and all of that kind of stuff. Whereas now I think it's like anyone would be like, oh, sure. You know, they should be teaching meditation in school, in my opinion.
100% agree. It would help so many different aspects.
Yeah, it's so true. It's so true. What else did you utilize at that stage of your life as you were experiencing all this loss and in a big transition? Were there other things that you turned to other than meditation?
I did do some journaling. So, you know, I've heard so much how journaling is so important and valuable and you know, helps you process emotions and stuff like that. I am still struggling. But I still have a tough time doing that consistently. So, So I would do it when I was like really like just – there was no other way to get it out of my system as to just – and then I would just write, but not consistently.
Yeah, it's so interesting that you say that, because I think there are plenty of people who are like, oh, yeah, journaling, schmurnaling, like whatever. I don't like to write. I don't want to do that. Like that sounds dumb. Do you do anything else that might replace that as a way to vent?
Not really.
Not really.
I turn to the journaling. Actually, it's funny that you say as a way to vent. When I am like really like there's just a lot of emotion and it's not necessarily grief. It's usually more a frustration or an anger.
Yeah, rage.
I will journal. I don't know if I'd go so far as rage. Sometimes, okay. Sure.
Okay.
Yes. But just, I got to get this out because I can't say it to the person. Often it's a person that I'm frustrated with. It's, you know, I don't want to ruin the relationship, but this has to come out somehow.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then I also work out. So I'll go, like the gym is my sanctuary.
Yeah.
So I'll go there.
Yeah. I think that's true for so many people. Like exercise is such a good release, whether you're choosing to do something like, you know, boxing or tennis or wherever or whatever, or yeah, what were you going to say?
Actually, that is that I joined a cardio boxing
gym. Oh, okay. Yeah.
Around that time. Now that you mentioned it, coming back. Yeah. I loved that.
Yeah. Yeah. Cause there's something I think about this sometimes because I know that when I need to vent, when I need to like release that energy, frustration, anger, rage, whatever it is, there's something about the act of punching something, hitting something, smashing something that is just really satisfying. Yes. And sometimes I think about it and I'm like, this does seem kind of violent, but you know, I mean, obviously I'm not doing it to a person.
Right. Right. So, well, that's why they have these rage rooms. Yeah. I don't know if they scope. I've heard about them that mm-hmm. you can go and just throw things and break things. And
yeah. I mean, one thing that I have done in my life is you take an Amazon box, an empty Amazon box, tape it back up, get your favorite hammer. You got to be on carpeting. And then just smash that box and say things while you smash it. It's very powerful, very cathartic.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
For sure. I'm trying to think of if there was anything else I was doing other than, I mean, so the gratitude part of things that I'd already, a lot of the things I'd picked up when I was running that business. Mm-hmm. Because I was selling these gratitude cookies, but I was also talking a lot about gratitude, using gratitude in business, how gratitude changes your outlook in life as a whole, and those kinds of things.
Yeah. Yeah. Gratitude is so powerful. I think there are times when just during the day, like if I hit a moment and I'd be like, okay, deep breath. And then you're like, okay, I am thankful that I breathe. I am thankful that my blood flows. You know, it's like I take it down to that level because then you're like, okay, let's just acknowledge my existence. And it's calming, you know? So it's not like you have to be like, oh, I mean, you can be grateful for so many things, but for some reason, like for me, I really like taking it down to that level.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So now when I work with clients, I have this exercise that I share with them that your listeners might appreciate.
Yeah,
because we're talking about gratitude and a lot of times I hear, okay, yeah, but you, of course you're grateful because you had this whole business and it was all focused on gratitude and you know, a lot of people have a lot of crazy things going on in their life. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And they're like, yeah, well, you don't understand. I don't have anything to be grateful for. Hold on here.
Yeah.
You just mentioned some.
Right.
So here's the exercise. It's called the "but I'm grateful for" exercise.
Okay.
So when you find yourself complaining or criticizing, and I say when, because we are human and it's going to happen, right?
Yes.
So when you do, you catch yourself and say, "but I'm grateful for."
Oh, that's powerful.
This is how you rewire your brain.
Yeah.
You set new neural pathways so that you can more naturally find gratitude. Because you're always going to find what you're looking for. So if you're looking for things to be grateful for, you will find them. If you're looking for things to be complaining about and criticizing, you'll find plenty of those too.
So what about if you're in like, you're just in a really bad mood and you're just complaining and you're like, well, I don't want to be grateful right now. Like, how do you approach that?
Well, feel the emotions that you're feeling. I mean, I would never tell somebody to deny the emotions that you're feeling because they're valid.
Right. And then when you've like taken the deep breath and you can get back to it, then you say, but I'm grateful for.
Yeah.
And you know, you can, one of the things that I like to tell people is if you bring it down to the very basic level. So like, for example, I'm grateful I can see. Mm-hmm. I'm grateful I can walk. Yeah. I'm grateful that I was born into my particular family. Like you can take it to a really molecular level. I'm grateful that when I turn on the water, I can actually drink it. I'm grateful that I have running water, you know, so if you're searching for things to be grateful for, you can get really creative. It doesn't have to be like, I'm grateful that, I mean, of course you can say all these things, but like, I'm grateful that I have food on the table, you know, whatever. It's like, you can get really creative with it and make it fun to like see how grateful you could be. Like,
yeah,
I'm grateful I have long hair. I love having long hair. Some people can't grow long hair.
There you go. Yeah. I mean, you're exactly right. And I love that you're sharing these really granular examples.
Right. Because the thing is, I think people talk about gratitude, but then everyone kind of goes, well, yeah, but isn't that kind of boring? And it's like, well, it doesn't have to be, you know?
Right. Well, and this is why I also don't keep a gratitude journal, which surprises a lot of people because I talk about gratitude all the time, but I don't, there's nothing wrong with it. What I find is that people tend to write the same things all the time.
Yeah.
I'm grateful for my family. I'm grateful for my cats. I'm grateful I have a car. Like, okay. So they're writing the things. One, it becomes just another thing on the to-do list.
Yeah.
In which case now it's a chore.
Right.
So don't bother. We're not creating chores here. That doesn't make you feel good.
Yeah.
And two, they're doing it without any feeling. And that is the thing. Like gratitude, you have to really feel it for it to be meaningful.
I agree wholeheartedly. Yes. Yes. And but that also offers opportunities for creativity because everybody looks at the world through their own special filter. And so what might occur to me to be grateful for might not occur to somebody else. And that's, you know, that's great. And so here's a gratitude challenge for anyone listening is like, get as creative as you possibly can and then email us or text us or comment on social media and tell us what you're grateful for. Like let's start a campaign of gratitude in the most creative way possible.
Yes. Wow. I was just about to say a gram page. That's what was about to come out. But what I meant was a rampage of gratitude. We'll just there call you it go. A rampage.
A gram page of gratitude. A gram page of gratitude. We'll just rename. Let's make up our own words. Why not? We're being creative.
That's right. So I had hosted a gratitude experience, a 5-day gratitude experience during pandemic. Uh-huh. And for that, I created a document with 209 gratitude prompts.
That's completely
not your usual things.
Yeah.
And I don't normally, like it was for that, experience, but I'm happy to make it available for your listeners if they'd like.
Yeah, let's do it. We'll include a link to that. I think that's a great idea. Cause I think it's so easy to like, especially if you're in a moment where you're like, life sucks. I'm not grateful for anything. Mm-hmm. But then if you go like, oh, but you know what? My fingernails grow really well and I'm grateful for that.
I mean, sometimes people, sometimes people are in a really dark place and they don't even want to get out of bed. And I get that because, I've been there. Mm-hmm. And can you be grateful for having a warm bed?
Yeah. Yeah. Or having comfortable pajamas or, a soft pillow or, and I guess another thing to think about is like, if you, maybe you need to do something to feel grateful. So maybe it's like, I'm going to get up and make a cup of tea and I'm going to be grateful for that cup of tea because it's warm and it's comforting and whatever. So like you can play with it that way. It presents an opportunity to put yourself into that space.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. All right, cool. So what else? What else do you routinely do in your life to help silence your mind clock and stay centered and all of the good things?
One of the things I just started doing a few weeks ago, maybe a couple months ago, I'm still working on getting consistent on it, is breath work.
Uh-huh.
So yeah, I have a friend and business partner who has a program called Way of the Warrior, I think it's called.
Okay.
His breath work technique is called the warrior. Oh geez, it just went out of my head. The war method. Warrior activation something. I'll have to look it up. But yeah.
Okay.
It's Way of the Warrior. And it's the Warrior's Activation Ritual. That's why it's called
Ritual.
The war method.
Okay. Yes. There we go.
Yeah.
Okay.
So doing this breath work has been really interesting and challenging.
And is it possible to tell us what that ritual is, or is it too complex?
Well, It's just the ritual of doing. He leads you through. It's more than a meditation because it's breath work, but it's breath work and meditation.
Oh, okay.
Kind of combined. So you're doing the breathing exercises and he's leading you through the whole time talking to you. And so, you know, what I'm finding and what I'm excited about sharing with my clients too, is especially for the ones who say, I can't quiet my mind.
Yeah.
Is the breathing. You're so focused on the breathing.
Right.
That the thoughts don't have room. So you're doing the breathing, breathing, breathing. And then there's this, okay. And then you just settle in. There's like, I was going to say, you stop breathing. You don't stop breathing, but you stop breathing at the, at that increased rate. Uh-huh. And you just kind of let things settle.
Uh-huh.
And he talks about like going on the ride. Uh-huh. And it's just this settling. And you're just sit there in this like blissful place.
Oh, that sounds lovely.
And then you start with the breathing again. But so it's cyclical of the breathing and the sitting and the breathing and the sitting. And he's got different lengths of time to do things, but it's really interesting. And so there's so much science and research behind it. And he's studying for a PhD in bio. I'm going to get it wrong, but biophysics, something like that. Uh-huh. But the science behind it in part is that you're bringing extra oxygen.
Right.
So what you're doing is you're alkalinizing your body, which is where you get your cells into a healthier state. That's where they can heal. And you're oxygenating your blood and your brain, and you will physically vibrate. Like, it's weird. I look at my hands when I'm finished and they're like shaking, not like a Parkinson's patient, not like that, but physically vibrating. You can feel it in your toes.
Sounds wonderful.
It's really weird.
What's sort of like what's the time range? Is it like 5 to 20 minutes or is it something like that?
So the war method is I'm looking at the website. It's breathwork exercises. He has one that's an 8-minute practice and one that's a 20-minute practice.
Okay. Okay.
And then so, he has courses that are longer than that, up to 90 minutes, which I have not worked up to yet.
Yeah. But like 8 minutes, people can fit 8 minutes into their day. And, you know, so interesting to try that. I mean, there are a ton of breathwork exercises and approaches to this out there. This sounds like a really neat one. I definitely want to give it a try.
I can give you we can put a link to that in the show notes as well. Yeah.
Yeah, that would be great. Because I think most people know that in any situation, one of the first things you can do to calm yourself is like take a deep breath, but you can take it a bit further. And you know, you can do simple breath exercises before a presentation, before a difficult conversation, before you're putting yourself out there, you know, whether you're going on to a party, going on a date, like whatever, there are things that will just help you center. And that sounds like such a great method. We'll definitely have a link to that. Well, so we have blown through our time here. No surprise. So is there any last thing that you would like to share with our audience or tell our audience or whatever? The floor is yours.
Yeah, I think it really comes back to finding what works for you. You know, we've been talking about meditation and journaling and all these great ways for calming yourself. And telling the mind cluck to shut up. And it's not, you don't necessarily find it right away. And that can be disconcerting or frustrating. And so I would encourage people to keep going and keep looking for what is it that works for you. Because there is something, I guarantee that. Just keep playing around and exploring.
That's such good advice. And it's so true. What works for one person might not work for somebody else. And the beautiful thing is that there are a bazillion methods out there. And so you can keep giving them a try until you find what works best for you. But Lori and I can definitely agree that having a quieter mind just makes life easier. Is that what you would say?
Yeah. 100%. Yeah. I mean, calm and grounded beats hair on fire any day.
Absolutely. There we go. There is our quote. Calm and grounded beats hair on fire any day. That is 100% true. I love it. All right, Lori, thank you so much for joining me today. I really, really appreciate your time and all you offered here.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah, it was a pleasure. All right, everybody, thank you. Have a wonderful rest of your day. Bye.
Thanks for listening. If you found this content helpful, please like, comment, and share across your social media. Are you sick of mind clucking up your days? Book a free initial consult with me at mindcluck.com and let's silence it. Thanks and have a great week.